This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel. A couple of weeks ago, when Osama bin Laden was killed, I had a very brief flashback to a moment in my childhood when a man who terrorized my city was arrested. It was 1957. I wasn't quite 10 years old, so the threat seemed huge to me. It made all the papers, all the newscasts, even the newsreels.
A 16-year hunt for New York's mad bomber ends with the arrest and confession of George Metesky, a toolmaker who admitted hiding 31 homemade pipe bombs in public places since 1940. 21 of them exploded, injuring 15 persons in all. His motive was revenge against the Consolidated Edison Company for a 1931 plant accident he believed gave him tuberculosis.
The mad bomber turned out to be a fastidious man in his mid-50s with a garage full of bomb-making tools and an astonishingly inappropriate affect. In the photos of him, George Metesky, under arrest, grins inexplicably. The photos are in Michael Greenberg's new book, The Mad Bomber of New York, the extraordinary true story of the manhunt that paralyzed a city. And Michael Greenberg joins us from Boston, a city that had a strangler but not a bomber. Welcome.
Thank you for having me, Robert.
And let's start with the basic question. How did George Metesky managed to avoid arrest for 16 years?
It's a great question, and one that was asked by New Yorkers at the time. Metesky became very adept at melting into society and kind of at cruising under the radar. One of his lawyers referred to him as someone who could pass as your next-door neighbor, and he just didn't stand out as the type of person that could be the mad bomber. He didn't look like the kind of person that people were looking for.
This was a huge newspaper story, and in those days, there were, I think, more local newspapers in New York City than there are national news networks today. Tell us about the role of the Hearst broadsheet, the Journal American.
You know, there was one very intrepid newsman by the name of Seymour Bergson, who was the publisher of the New York Journal American. And during the period of time when the bombings reached their crescendo, there was panic, apprehension, a great deal of fear in the city. And Mr. Bergson got together with his staff and decided that the best way to approach this story would be to publish what he called an open letter to the bomber. And this letter promised good treatment to the bomber if he would reveal himself and turn himself in. Well, this had the effect of drawing out the bomber, so to speak. And he got into a very public dialogue with the newspaper, and it really created a ethical dilemma for Bergson, who was working very closely with the New York Police Department, who had asked him on several occasions to withhold information. So it was the journalist paradox, trying to balance his commitment to the community against his duty to zealously cover the news.
When it turned out that details that Metesky had supplied to the Journal American about when his accident had occurred at Consolidated Edison, when that really led to his discovery, didn't hurt Journal American circulation, did it?
Absolutely not. And Seymour Bergson was criticized for setting up some type of a ploy. It was a publicity stunt to increase his circulation. And it did have the effect of increasing it, but he vehemently denied that this was somehow designed to increase circulation.
One innovation of the Mad Bomber case was, and you figure it was for the first time ever, the use of a psychiatrist to construct what we would now call a profile of the suspect. And the psychiatrist was Dr. James Brussel. What did he do?
Well, at the time, there was a tremendous amount of internal frustration within the police department and political pressure on the top brass of the department to make an arrest. And this would lead to the true significance of the case. A very progressive-minded captain of the force, Howard Finney, sought out Dr. Brussel really for the purpose of introducing a fresh set of eyes onto the evidence and to find out, hey, maybe the investigators missed something. What they got, as you said, was the first criminal profile in an active police investigation in the United States. Brussel concluded that the mad bomber suffered from a case of progressive paranoia. Mm-hmm. And from that, he was able to create an inferential mosaic of probable characteristics. He called it his private blend of science, intuition, and hope.
If you read it favorably, his profile of the Mad Bomber said he would be a middle-aged man, he would be a Slav, he would be unmarried but probably living with women related to him, playing a maternal role. He would be wearing a double-breasted suit when he was arrested. So either he was very right or he was off by 10 years on the age. He had a Polish name, but he was really, I guess, Latvian. And he was wearing pajamas, not a double-breasted suit, but he typically wore double-breasted suits. So it was either a great profile or not quite right.
Yeah, I mean, Dr. Bressel was criticized to some extent, but by and large, the profile that he developed was widely accepted as accurate. And whether or not it had the effect of assisting in the investigation, which truly it probably did not, it had the effect of shining the light of awareness on this little-used and little-known crime-fighting tool. And others picked up on his technique. They didn't necessarily agree with it, but it evolved, and it became what it is today.
And we should say that ultimately George Metesky lived out his days in a state mental hospital or in a hospital for the criminally insane. I don't know exactly what the title was. When he was arrested, he instantly admitted to all this.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, one of the interesting things about Metesky's later crusade, which became trying to prove his competency to stand trial, wasn't that he was so much interested in gaining his freedom, but he wanted his day in court to show the evils of Consolidated Edison Company. He wanted to bring that crusade to life in a courtroom, and he felt he needed a platform to do that, and he thought that a trial would be the best way to accomplish that.
Well, Michael Greenberg, thanks a lot for talking with us about the story and about your book.
Well, thanks for having me, Robert.
Michael Greenberg's book is called The Mad Bomber of New York, The Extraordinary True Story of the Manhunt That Paralyzed a City. Our program is directed by Greg Dixon, edited by Corey Turner, and produced by Franklin Cater. The technical director is Stu Rushfield. The engineering supervisor is Robert Jackson. Our planning editors are Jerry Holmes and Julia Buckley. The staff includes Jonathan Baer, Abby Sykes, Janae West, Thomas Dreisbach, Jennifer Longmire-Wright, and Bracton Booker. Our executive producer is Christopher Turpin, and the managing editor for NPR News is David Sweeney. I'm Robert Siegel. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.